Hei te whakarongo koe ki te reo, irirangi poho he parakuhi. Tēnei, you're on 95 BFM Breakfast. It's time for our monthly catch-up with the Labour Party, and we're lucky to be joined by Barbara Edmonds on the line. Morena.
Tēnā korua, how are you both?
Very good, thank you. How are you, Barbara?
Yeah, not bad. It's a little bit more windier today in Wellington. We had some beautiful couple of days, including some dolphins in a local bay, so we were quite happy with that.
Oh, wow.
Gorgeous.
Can't beat Wellie on a good day, right?
That is what they say.
You really can't.
Wonderful. I thought, we've got lots to talk about. There's obviously a lot happening out there in the world, and I do want to touch on fuel prices and, the government's approach to the impact this will have. But I thought maybe we could start with a little bit of a catch-up on just how morale is with the Labour Party. I know that there's been a lot of reshuffling of caucus portfolios. You know, we've had people like Pēnei Henare depart, as well as a little bit of scandal in regards to some personal stuff for Chris Hipkins, which we won't really touch on. But I thought I'd just check in with how the team morale of the Labour Party is doing at the moment.
Oh, the team's really good, and when things happen like, what's happened in the media in the last 48 hours, that's where you really see the inner strength of our caucus rally around each other, just making sure that everyone's okay, checking in. So everyone's, on the ground, because it's a recess week, not a parliament sitting week. People are in their communities. So, despite some of the commentary, we're supporting each other, we're supporting our leader, and with the reshuffle that is as a result of Pēnei leaving, as well as Matua Adrian, who left maybe a couple of months ago now, mm-hmm. It's quite an exciting time as well. We bring in two new MPs. So one is Georgie Danzy. She's based in Hamilton, a union organiser, a mum, former gym owner, so she's very fit, which is pretty good given that Pēnei was kind of one of our gym bunnies for our caucus. And we're also seeing Dan Rosemorne, who comes in next week. Dan was an MP in the last term. He was unable to secure his seat and come back off the list. He has a military background, knows how to fix lawnmowers, and what most people don't know about Dan is he's a very treasured member of our Pacific Caucus. So if you know what Dan looks like, you wouldn't think that he's Samoan at all. However, Dan's family is a very well-respected Samoan family, and so as a Pacific woman, I'm really happy to have my brother back as well.
Nice. It seems like there's some exciting new faces coming through. I'm curious as to whether Labor is concerned about Chris Hipkins' popularity at the moment.
Marriage breakups, anyone that's been through a relationship breakup knows that it can be really hard, especially when there are children involved. Mm. Chris spoke to media yesterday. He fronted up. He gave the information that he thought was appropriate, because this is a very private matter between him and his ex-wife. So we have confidence in Chris as a leader. We're standing by him. Chris said in the media yesterday he received a lot of really lovely texts from his colleagues. And so we have confidence in him that he can continue to do and focus on the things that matter to New Zealanders.
I'm curious. I think one of the biggest sort of parts of the reshuffle that people are talking about is Willa Jean Prime losing the education portfolio. And some people are thinking that this perhaps is related to the scrutiny that she faced last year after not responding to and then declining requests from the education minister for a meeting to discuss some education reforms. Are these two things related?
I haven't actually spoken to Chippy around the reasoning for it, but the main thing, however, though, is Willow Jean picks up a pretty massive portfolio with social development, employment. Mm. She was attending a conference just yesterday. Social development is such a massive portfolio, and you need a safe pair of hands in that. So I think that's a pretty good indication that Chippy has confidence in Willow Jean to still manage those big policies.
I do want to talk a little bit about your perspective on where things are at in terms of the fuel prices are surging past $3. Nicola Willis appears to be relatively optimistic around things and says that we've got plenty of reserves and we shouldn't be worried. Are you as optimistic?
Well, I am worried when you look at what's happening overseas, particularly with the number of boats that are coming through the Strait of Hormuz, which is where New Zealand gets a lot of, so the raw product goes to a refinery, mainly in Singapore or Korea, for our air fuel, so jet fuel. So if there's a bottleneck, or, you know, obviously as ships can't get through to get their product to be refined, that will have implications, possibly within the next month or so, so looking towards mid-April, end of April, based on the way that supply chains happen for fuel. So I don't think she should be confident around what's going to happen in the future, given that unless that strait opens up and we start to get the same volume going through, there will be an issue a little bit sort of in the medium term, sort of mid-April further on. So the government really needs to make sure they've got all the options on the table, particularly for relief for New Zealanders. I mean, you would have seen in the last 2 weeks, fuel's gone up 45 cents to 50 cents a litre. Yeah. That's a lot of money for families who are really dealing with struggling prices, you know, for food, etc. You know, food prices also went up in the last year. So I think she needs to not sit on her laurels. She needs to make sure she's on top of the issue, particularly given that in the medium term, fuel prices are likely to increase given the supply will be restricted.
Mm. Should the government be doing more to restrict fuel use?
I think it's more this, at the moment, because of the reserves, that's a sort of assessment that they're kind of, well, they think right now we're okay. Mm-hmm. However, fuel prices have already gone up, you know, so for people, that's difficult. So they should be looking at other forms of relief for families. I spoke to a food bank manager in my area of Porirua yesterday. They said that, you know, the last 2 years, the people walking through their doors is not people who are on benefits or unemployed. They are getting a huge increase in working people coming through their door because they just can't make ends meet. Most people know food is the most flexible part of your household budget that you can cut back on, but it gets to a point where your dollar can't stretch any further and you need to go to someone for support. So I've been calling the government. We don't get all the information because we're in opposition, but I've been calling on the government to provide some temporary targeted relief, particularly for food banks, for the food networks, for budgeting, financial services, because they've already said for the last 2 years the crisis is already here. They need more support to deal with this higher demand that's coming through the door.
So no matter what happens, whether we implement, say, careless days, working from home where possible, support is the main thing that would be on Labor's mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the government has come up with a traffic light system. Yes. New Zealanders are very aware of traffic light systems, and they believe they can escalate, you know, the levels as they need to.
Yeah.
But let's be clear, the cost of living crisis was here even before the Middle East conflict. So New Zealanders are looking for relief. You know, the petrol price is going up, it's likely to go up in the future. They still need that relief for all the other costs that have gone up in the last couple of years.
Mm. Considering the sort of head that this whole fossil fuel crisis is coming to at the moment, should we be feeling regretful about removing the electric vehicle rebate?
Oh, the government absolutely should be feeling regretful about that. Also, the fares free for under 25-year-olds to encourage people to use public transport. Mm. So those are sort of long-term structural issues. We know we need to lessen our dependency on fossil fuels. The EV subsidy was trying to pull people to buy, you know, EVs to grow the second-hand pool to bring down the cost of EVs so that more people could access them. Fares free, again, was trying to get people out of cars, you know, and get them into public transport. But, you know, if you've got children, they catch the school bus, that's instant relief not having to pay for their school bus, you know, fares. So there are sort of the long-term things that the government has sort of stripped away for sort of saving money, you know, to give to property speculators, to give to tobacco companies, but it doesn't deal with this long-term issue of we need to lessen our dependency on fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, looking forward to the longer-term economic impact this will have, that we're facing at the moment, Minister Nicola Willis says that she thinks worst case scenario inflation is going to get to 3.7%, but there's a few economists who are saying that's wildly optimistic. What's your worst case scenario?
Yeah, I don't have the same information that Nicola Willis does, and I've been speaking to a number of external economists over the last week. And they do. They believe that that's very overly optimistic. Mm-hmm. For example, the BNZ, they have their central point of inflation at 33.5%. That's not worst-case scenario. And then I saw some figures from another bank. They thought worst-case scenario might be 4% inflation. So it's just about being able to have sufficient advice there from different quarters, not just your officials, being able to test it. And to be really make sure that as you test it, it's really robust, because you need to make sure that those forecasts and that you're preparing, because the government makes decisions off these forecasts, so they need to make sure that the government is asking the right questions to ensure that the forecasts are robust enough.
Mm-hmm. Considering, you know, the worst case scenario we might be heading into in the events of the last few weeks, are we going to see some, you know, catered policy, some fiscal policy from Labor coming out around how we could recover from this come November if you get into government?
So we've said that we're not going to make any major policy announcements until after budget. And it was for a really good reason, because you just don't know we're in opposition. We don't know what the books are going to look like. And Nicola Willis has confirmed in the last week that actually the forecast she got for pre-budget have now changed since the Middle East war crisis. So, you know, it'd be really foolish for me to sort of and make a big spending announcement and actually have to reverse that because the numbers are worse, which is what we're expecting. So ultimately, major policy announcements will be a little bit later. But what we're saying to the government now is, you're in government, you get the advice, you can make decisions timely, and my job as the opposition's finance spokesperson is to hold you to account for that and to put pressure on you to advocate for people in our community right up and down the country who are struggling with the cost of living and an impending fuel crisis.
Wouldn't New Zealanders be provided with a bit more hope, though, if there was perhaps some alternatives proposed by Labor as to how we might deal with this crisis, as opposed to just sort of pointing fingers and placing blame?
Yeah, and it comes down to that's our job as opposition is to continue to advocate. So, for example, even though we don't give the advice, I've said to Minister, I've said to media in the last few days, you know, there are things you can do now quickly. For example, supporting food banks, increasing the funding that goes to them, supporting budgeting financial services. These are alternatives to that. The system and the way that the fuel system, security system, that's been an issue for a while. And so when Labor was in, we increased the time in which they needed to have the storage of fuel. You know, Minister Shane Jones has increased that a little bit, and we were supportive of that. So as much as we want to be able to promise the alternative, we can point to alternatives, but because we're not in government, we have to hold them to account.
Thank you very much, Barbara Edmonds, for your time this morning. Lovely to catch up with you, and hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks,
awesome.
Barbara.
Always love to catch up. Thank you.
Ka kite. Bye. Bye.